Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Achmo Berger-Smith, Director of Competition Law and Head of Data Privacy at Worksmen's Attorneys. A very good morning to you, and thank you for chatting to us on a public holiday. I know it's a big ask, but we really appreciate it.
Not at all. Thank you, Howard. Thank you for having me.
So the Act is coming into, it goes live when?
Well, on the 1st of July this year, we will be expected to be compliant. So all companies have until the end of June to get their house in order and make sure that they can stand up and say that we've got a reasonable level of compliance with this legislation in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we will abide by the legislation as of the 1st of July this year.
Right. So it is going to be happening. What happens if a company, for example, isn't aware of the nuances around it and they act in contravention? What are the remedies? What are the potential consequences? Where does this all go?
You know how everyone can speak about reputational damages, and there's a lot of research that demonstrates that, you know, the brand value of a company and the trust of consumers immediately falls. But if we look at the powers of the information regulator, the information regulator has got strict powers to impose penalties and administrative fines for non-compliance with the legislation. And again, the Advocate Fancy Kakula has been saying for quite a while now, people have been warned about compliance with the POPIA legislation, and they've been told, you know, you need to start to think about putting the necessary processes in place and policies in place and review how you deal with the privacy of your data subjects. So her view is that as of the 1st of July, the information regulator will hit the ground running, so to speak. They will expect companies to be compliant with the legislation. So, you know, it's less than 100 days before this legislation officially kicks in, which means that we all need to sit up now. If you haven't done your bit in terms of putting your business practices in line to be compliant with the POPI legislation, now's the time to act immediately.
And what are the main features? As far as I understand, it's people, instead of needing to opt out, they've now got to opt in. In other words, they've got to tell you that they want to receive not unsolicited, because then it is solicited. They want to receive mails from you. They want to be on your database. Is that one of the main features where things are going to be changing a bit?
Well, it's one part of compliance with the POPI legislation. What you're referring to relates to the direct marketing provisions of the legislation. And I think a lot of people have been waiting eagerly for this legislation to become effective, because everyone is tired of getting spam emails and spam calls and SMSs and hoping for an end to all of this. So, yes, indeed, the legislation deals to a very large extent with the direct marketing practices and how that must be dealt with going forward. But that is one part of the legislation. At the heart of the legislation lies the protection and the acknowledgement of the privacy of individuals. And how do you actually process personal information? How do you receive it? What do you do with it? And how do you communicate to your data subjects for them to be aware of the fact that you are actually collecting their personal information, sharing it, for example, with other companies, and for what purpose you're doing that sharing with other entities? So we can't operate in a vacuum. You need personal information to actually sustain your business and your business practices. You know, without that, you can't operate. The POPI legislation requires of companies to stop for a minute to consider, but what is the minimum personal information I require to offer my services and products to the market? Because over decades, we've gotten used to collecting anything that we can ask for. You know, enter a gated community and they'll ask for your car registration, your ID number, and, you know, a host of information that you look at it and you think, but why do they need this? It's absolutely irrelevant for the purposes. And that's one of the things that companies will have to consider. You know, data subjects, you and I as individuals, do have the right to say, but I don't want you to process my information. I do not consent to that. And therefore, it's important for companies to understand what is the lawful basis on which they are processing personal information. Do they have a legitimate interest to process that information? Is there another piece of legislation that requires them to process the information? But at the end of the day, to the minimum extent, while acknowledging and respecting the right to privacy of individuals.
Right.
And now, an important thing that we should not forget about is the poppy legislation does not only relate to the privacy of natural persons, you and I as warm bodies, living, breathing individuals. It also covers the privacy of other companies. So juristic persons also have the right to privacy in South Africa.
Right.
And that is an important thing that often I think, you know, gets
we don't think of. We do think of privacy in terms of people. If a company is sitting with a database for a newsletter or whatever it would be, do they have to now go out to all of their subscribers and offer them an option of not receiving this? How does it work for existing? You know, I understand how it would work moving forward, but if you have an existing database, what are you meant to do?
Yeah, well, that is a vital question that you're asking, because in terms of an existing database, now is the time to audit it, to verify that the contact details you've got on that database are valid in terms of the poppy legislation. So you might have seen that you would receive emails or SMS notifications to say, you know, we offer services to you, or you're existing client with us, and we're busy with our processes in terms of poppy compliance. Please indicate whether going forward you still want to receive certain newsletters or a certain form of communication. Now, I know the first instinct of companies with these databases would be, you know, oh, now we're going to lose half the contact on our databases. But again, if we reflect on research and experience, yes, there is, you'll have a lesser number of contacts on your database. But research has demonstrated the contacts that you do retain on your database, in light of the fact that they are valid contacts on your database, the value of your marketing initiative
actually
shoots up.
Yeah.
So that is
because it's no longer about a vanity number, which is just the number on your database. It becomes about something real.
Yeah. Mm. It's real. It's valuable. Those people actually want to hear your message, or they are interested in your products and services. And the return on that is exponentially higher from what you had previously. So I think a lot of databases, people are sitting on false numbers.
Yeah, it's, as I say, a vanity metric.
Exactly. So that is very important.
One of before I let you go, one of our listeners asking, how does POPIA compare to GDPR in the UK? It's not familiar to me, but I'm assuming it means something to you.
No, it does. So the GDPR is the European data privacy legislation. In the UK now, with post-Brexit, there's a split out, and the UK has got an exceptionally strong information regulator. But if we compare our legislation with the GDPR, it is very, very similar to the GDPR. However, in certain instances, the GDPR, the threshold for compliance in terms of the GDPR would be somewhat higher. And that is an important thing for us to take into consideration as well. If we're multinational or global entities, you know, we will have to comply with the threshold for compliance in terms of the GDPR as well as POPIA. But in at its core, the principles reflected in POPIA is very similar to that reflected in the GDPR. And that brings us to the question, if I comply with the GDPR, will I comply with POPIA?
Right.
Yes, indeed. You know, you'll be able to demonstrate that you comply. However, you need to adjust certain policies and documents in terms of the South African legislation.
All right, so very, very, excuse me, interesting. That's unfortunately where we do need to leave it. Achmor Berger-Smith, Director of Competition Law and Head of Data Privacy at Worksmen's Attorneys.